content presented on the following show by any host or by any guest should be used solely for your entertainment and enjoyment. The views and opinions of the following show are not necessarily those of the Whole Care Network, other show hosts on the Whole Care Network, or advertisers on the Whole Care Network. Shows on the Whole Care Network are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any disease or condition. Always consult a professional when making any changes to your physical, spiritual, mental, or financial health. And thank you for listening to the Whole Care Network.
How do you want to be cared for as you age? By planning now, successful aging is in your control. Welcome to Your Future Self. Featured on the Whole Care Network, On Your Future Self, we share real-life stories and trusted resources to help you plan for your care. And now, here are your hosts, Monica Stanciula and Christopher McLellan. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Episode 3 of Your Future Self, Because It's in Your Control. I am one of your co-hosts, Christopher McLellan from the Whole Care Network. You might know me as the Bowtie Guy, and have my younger sister from another mother.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
What is your name?
My name is Monica Stanciula, and I'm the CEO of Reunion Care.
Such
a pleasure to be with you again, Chris.
Now,
I enjoy these conversations immensely.
I have to let our listeners know that Monica was just a little gun shy today because she's going to be doing the interview. And I asked her to do the introduction and she said, oh no, I want consistency. And I just said, I know a way to take care of this. So I'm just going to call her right out on the podcast. But Monica, you could have done the introduction. It'd have been okay.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Thank you. I just like hearing your voice when we get started. How's that?
It's one of our trade marks, as our listeners know, whether it's a Credit for Caring or our new podcast or Your Future Self, we do to banter.
Yes,
because it is about creating friendly conversations, meaningful conversations, but really being there for one another. And that's what we do best.
That's right. And for all of you that have heard our last podcast series, you'll know that what we covered in that was our caregiving journeys. I have been a long-distance caregiver and remain a long-distance caregiver now for my mother. And Chris cared for his partner, and he did the yeoman's work of 24/7 care. And what we discussed then was, what did it take to be a caregiver then? And what we've learned through the process, and we continue our friendship and continue our journeys forward, is, wait a second, we also have to care for ourselves. It's not just caring for someone else, which we can lose ourselves in. Raise your hand if you've lost yourself in it. I see a lot of hands up. That's right. That's so easy to do when you're a caregiver. And today we want to talk about the social side of this. Let's do a real gut check today. Let's really talk about what's going on. I am going to dive in deep on Chris and about how he overcame his own loneliness, his own isolation that came with caregiving. I get to go back to my clinical days, my social worker days. So I'm just going to put you on the couch here, Chris. One of the things that concerns me most about caregivers is what it leaves behind when a caregiving experience is over. Chris, how do you think that the whole process of caregiving, what has it done in terms of your thinking about a crisis? When you approach a crisis, do you feel like this has had an impact on how you perceive danger in your life?
I think in any situation, once you've had an experience, you can take from that experience and learn and make adjustments. But for most caregivers, there is no experience. You're thrown into this massive job, either by an unfortunate accident or a timely diagnosis, and suddenly you're entrusted with the care of somebody else. And in my case, I did it out of love, but I understand that there's people out there who end up being caregivers by default. We could do a whole other topic. We could do a whole show on caregivers by default, but But you know, caregivers lose themselves in the midst of caregiving. And one of the many things that go by the wayside is your social connections. Your time is so limited that you lose track of your hobbies. You lose track of the things that you like to do. And as we talked in our previous podcast, that physical component, you're exercising. But just as importantly, the social aspect of caregiving, you're so intent focusing on the person that you're caring for that you lose yourself and you lose your own purpose and you lose your identity.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it ends.
Okay. But I want to take you back a little bit, Chris, because you're dodging my question. I want to know when you were a caregiver.
Yes.
Was there a point in that whole experience when you started to feel numb, when you started to feel like you weren't yourself?
I go back to a period of time. It's probably 6 to 8 weeks before Richard made his life transition, when one of my sisters appeared on the scene. She was coming for a 3-day visit and ended up staying 6 weeks. And it was at that time when I realized what I thought was a normal day was totally off the charts by people's standards, because you get into this routine in the midst of caregiving and it just seems normal. But right. When you have a moment to step back and say, oh my goodness, cooking, cleaning, managing transportation, doctor's appointments, following up, laundry, grocery shopping, all these things that you just take for granted,
right.
Going to the radiation treatments on a daily basis, all of a sudden, those are just a normal part of your day. And it's not normal.
Right. But
going to radiation treatments are not normal.
Chris, there's a lot of parallels between what happens to a caregiver and what happens to someone when they go to war. You live in this perpetual state of readiness that never gets turned off. You're always on to the next task. You're always on edge. Everything is always, it's almost too much for your mind to be able to process. And that's what happens. And that's why a lot of our soldiers come back with post-traumatic stress disorder. They come back with not being able to digest what has happened in those experiences and to make sense out of it. And I believe a lot of caregivers happen to do the same thing. I think that's why I ask you about danger and numbness specifically, because what happens when you're always in this state of readiness, when you're always waiting for the next bad thing to happen, it plays on your psyche. And what we tend to do is we turn inward, don't we?
We turn inward. We ignore it because these changes, even though caregiving happens at a moment's notice, these changes that happen in the midst of caregiving are gradual. You don't recognize the change in your own life until it's too late, or until the person that's entrusted with your care makes their life transition and you have the opportunity to sit back and look at my life is so much different.
Yeah. I think that when you said your sister came for 3 days and stayed 6 weeks, she could see on the outside what you couldn't see.
Right.
And the term for that, we don't want to call it post-traumatic stress disorder when it comes to caregiving, but what it leaves behind on caregivers is something called compassion fatigue.
Compassion
fatigue leaves you with this kind of altered sense of reality that you have to come to grips with over time. And for a lot of caregivers, it just becomes part of this new behavior. Maybe you drink more. Maybe you find other outlets where you're finding pleasure in ways that maybe aren't the healthiest way to find that pleasure, whatever that may be. But these
are drive-through at McDonald's.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Hamburgers. Don't let me go down that road. But these changes happen. And the behaviors that come out of it are ways that we are personally trying to heal. And they may not be the best ways, but we're doing what we can because we don't recognize the compassion fatigue that we're under. So I have 5 questions for you, Chris. Do you direct all of your energy toward others?
Are we talking, I need a little clarification here.
Yes.
Are we talking now or while in the midst of caregiving?
We're talking now that you've gone through the whole experience of caregiving and you've come out the other side. We're talking about the future, Chris.
Mm-hmm,
the future, Chris. We're talking about where you are today and moving mm-hmm. forward. So where you sit today, mm-hmm. do you direct all of your energies toward others?
Not to the extent that I did while I was in the midst of caregiving. I'm a little bit more self-absorbed, which has been uncomfortable for me at times. It's a new reality.
Okay. And do you lack personal boundaries? Can you tell the difference between yourself and someone else in terms of when something happens?
That's a kind of a new phenomenon also after caregiving has ended.
Yeah. Do you feel like through caregiving or at some previous time in your life that you have suffered trauma?
Well, you mean physical trauma or mental trauma?
However you define trauma, whatever it may have been in your life.
I'm going to use a different term, if you don't mind, if I can interject this. I look at this more looking back, especially caring for somebody that you love. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden that relationship ends. It's almost like having two relationships in one. That pre-established relationship, whether it's a spouse or a partner, has already there. And then the caregiving role comes on, and that takes on its own unique relationship within a relationship. And then all of a sudden, both of those end without any warning. Or you might think that the person that you're caring for, they've had cancer for 6 months, but they're never going to die because they always get better. And then they die. And where's your identity? How do you look at yourself?
Right.
And the term that I use that is so appropriate for me is being emotionally bankrupt because of the caregiving experience.
That's
because
right.
That person that you loved and cared for, that you did everything with 24/7, all of a sudden that person is gone. And not only is that person gone, but your purpose is gone. Self-identity is gone. And what do? How do you pick up the pieces? It's not easy.
And Chris, we refer to that as vicarious trauma. It may have been Richard who was actually going through the radiation every day, but vicariously you too were suffering during that process as you watched him go through it.
Yeah, I appreciate you recognizing that. And then we were lucky enough to have those open and honest conversations amongst ourselves. I wrote quite often. Writing was therapy for me in the midst of caregiving. And I remember one of the blog posts, I can tell you the date, it was March 7th, 2014. The title of the blog post was Approaching the Final Destination. And Richard was laying in the hospice bed. I couldn't believe that he was not going to come home. And what I said in that blog post was that in this whole process, he was the pilot. I was the co-pilot. And I wasn't the one taking the medication. I wasn't the one going to radiation. I wasn't one laying in that bed, but I sure would have switched positions if I had the opportunity.
Wow, Chris. And your words alone, they're so powerful. But what it sounds to me like is the whole experience took you inward and focused everything on your relationship, the two of you.
It was all about the relationship. You
right.
couldn't, I, personally, everybody's caregiving journey is different. I couldn't have done what I did and been there without loving and caring for him like I did. But as new of an experience as the caregiving is, life after caregiving is just as new, and it's not often talked about.
So you've been through these traumatic, I'm still going to use the word trauma,
right.
Only you've been through this traumatic event. You've finished your caregiving, and now you're on to grief exhibits a lot of the same behaviors that you're going to find when it comes to compassion fatigue. You
Very
feel numb.
So.
You feel desensitized. You feel not yourself. There's something, there's a real dissonance in what's going on, and you're trying to make sense of it over time as you mourn the loss of someone that's that important to you. That's why social relationships for your future self become so important, because you're standing at the end of a ledge, and you have to decide whether you're going to walk back and build new relationships or whether you're going to let this consume you and you're just going to dive into it. And you know what we want to talk about going forward for your future self, Chris, is how is it that you moved forward out of this? How did you rebuild your life and bring that compassion fatigue back into control so that you can move forward? And that's what we're going to talk about in the second half of this show. So how about we take a break here and stretch our legs and take a deep breath. But Chris, I want you to know, I really appreciate you sharing your story there. I really appreciate that.
That's my pleasure, Monica. I'm glad that you're taking the lead on this one.
We'll see you in a minute.
Hey, it's Christopher McClellan from the Whole Care Network. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Your Future Self. And to learn more about our four pillars of care, visit us online at thewholecarenetwork.com, where you'll see a full description on all four of our pillars. And while you're on our pillars page, just do a quick search for Your Future Self, which will take you to our landing page for this podcast, where you'll be able to grab your homework assignments and see all the great discounts that we have to offer through Credit for Caring. And be sure to subscribe to Your Future Self wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Now let's take it back to Monica.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we're talking about your social self. What is it you need to do to take care of yourself as you move forward? Taking care of your social self is not some frivolous something you'll put off till later. Taking care of your social self is vital to remaining healthy. And there's one way we're going to start to evaluate that, Chris. On your website, I know that we've posted this, but I'd like to draw everyone's attention to the Geriatric Depression Scale. It's a questionnaire of 30 questions that we'd like you to take. You just answer yes or no to every question, and then you score it at the bottom based on, the directions are on there on how to do it. And it will give you an indication of really how you're doing in terms of depression. That's important for all of us. That's something that probably on a pretty regular basis, we should all be taking that depression scale just as a check. It's like
just as a check.
That's right. You take your temperature to figure out how your physical body is doing. Take this depression scale to see how your mental body is doing, because this compassion fatigue isn't something that's once and done.
It's real. Compassion fatigue is real.
That's right. And you don't know what's going to trigger it next. It may be seeing a child being hit by their parent when you're out in public, and all of a sudden the hair goes up on the back of your neck and you start thinking about, I got to save that person. No one can hurt that person. These kind of visceral reactions that we get, a lot of this stems from our compassion fatigue. A lot of this stems from those traumatic experiences that we've had before and what that's put into our DNA as we move forward. And it's not all bad, Chris.
It's not all bad. It's about recognizing and creating the boundaries.
That's right.
Because you're in the midst of caregiving and you start self-identifying solely as a caregiver. Then all of a sudden your wants and needs and desires are all focused on helping somebody else.
Yes.
Instead of caring for yourself.
That's right. Chris, one of the things that I know we're living through an unusual time right now, but it's also an opportunity time. Let's put this in perspective. Everyone is under the same constraints at this point, and we're all having to reevaluate our relationships. But for each of us, it's an opportunity to say, wait a second, I haven't connected with my favorite cousin in a while. or gee, there's some music that I really like or a show that I really like. Why don't I watch that with a friend? Like, we can watch that online. There are things you can do now from the seat you are sitting in that doesn't cost you extra money to go out, doesn't cost you to travel. There's a lot that we can do. But the issue is, are you ready and are you willing to do it?
And it's having that, what's the word I'm looking for, that self-motivation to get out beyond yourself, to care for your future self, living in the here and now.
What is it that you are doing today to create and nurture your own social network? And I don't mean 1,000 friends on Facebook, whoop-de-doo. I'm really talking about those kind of relationships.
Those relationships, those that trusted, somebody you can rely on at a moment's notice.
Right. And we all need them. We can't live as islands. And my fear is, for many caregivers, as you're going through the grief process, that this compassion fatigue becomes baked in. And it's hard to get out from under. But we want you to get out from under it. And the way to do that is to start engaging more socially, making sure that you're keeping these relationships alive as you move forward. And they don't always have to be the same relationships they were before. They don't.
They don't. And often the relationships change after caregiving ends. And actually relationships change during caregiving. The people that you had been used to interacting with, especially those who are not caregivers themselves, they move on. And then caregiving ends. Your relationships change as well. And that's why it's very important to be aware of these things, because it does impact your social well-being. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share what I believe is my 5 stages of grief.
I'd love to hear them. Please.
So I think every caregiver experiences this at some time. And the first one is relief. There is relief that caregiving is over and it's healthy. It's okay. Those nights we're sleeping with one eye open, they're gone. And it's okay to recognize that. The next one is sadness that, you know, 2 lives have been changed forever. And that you once knew is no longer there. It's not coming back, no matter what you try to do. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I tried to recreate that life numerous times. It's not coming back. So we've got relief, sadness, and then guilt. Guilt is probably one of the most difficult emotions to overcome. Those what ifs. Mm-hmm. If I could have done just that one thing different, if I could have made that other decision differently, or if I'd have stayed that night at the hospice, they wouldn't have given him that dose of morphine. That guilt that you think that you could just change somebody's destiny. Okay. Our caregiving capes are limited. We can't just snap and fix everything like we've been fixing them, because your care partner's destiny is predetermined. No matter what you think you could have done or your care team could have done, you can't. And then you find that acceptance. For me, it was 15, 16 months down the road where I woke up one morning and said, you know what? Job well done. No matter what I thought I could have done for him, there was nothing left in the toolbox that would have changed his outcome. Would there have been things I would have liked to have changed leading up to that day of recognition? There was a lot of dark days between acceptance, between the guilt and acceptance. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of dark days. There was days when that leftover morphine looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. You come to acceptance. And then I've learned over the last year or so, we're going now 5 years, you come to a point where you have to take action, from acceptance to action. And what we're doing now is an extension of the action. We're creating these authentic, real life podcasts, people who are, for caregivers who are coming before us, or coming after us, rather, so that they can have some credible firsthand information on how they can prepare for their future self. Because I can tell all of our listeners out there is no greater honor that could be bestowed on you to be entrusted with the care of another human being. It is by far the most awesome job. It's not a job.
Calling.
It's the most awesome thing you can do for another person.
Absolutely.
And what I know from my experience is that my faith tells me I will see him again. My mind tells me he's forever pain-free. And my heart tells me he is forever standing next to me. And that's what I take as forward with me in my future self.
Chris, that was beautiful. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. That was beautiful. Would you mind posting your five stages on the website underneath?
We will have the five stages on our Whole Care Network website under your future self.
I really appreciate that if you would do that.
And it's our new website. I'm so excited.
Chris, that was powerful. Thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Chris, I know that as being a friend of yours, I know that you have worked very hard, especially in the last year. You've reached out and you've made new friendships. You've been traveling. You've been doing all things that replenish you. And I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm really proud of you for moving on and doing those things because it's not easy. Right.
No, I'm very open and honest about my trials and tribulations. I've made a tremendous amount of poor emotional decisions over the years because of being wrapped up in my grief, but no more. I'm living today and I'm planning for my future. And I hope every caregiver out there will plan for their future as well, because it's in your control.
Bravo, Chris. Bravo. You've overcome that compassion fatigue. You have moved on and it's very healthy. And with that, I think that what we should do is wish for every caregiver that's looking at their future self to have that same kind of healing, that same kind of self-reflection of on their own worth and their own relationships. And we wish you the best moving forward in rebuilding your own social network and re-engaging with people once this process is over.
And you've done a terrific job as the host for our future self. You've got a future in this.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. It's great joining with you today. Thank you.
Take care.
This is the Whole Care Network. Helping you tell your story one podcast at a time.